For our next segment, WOOC correspondent Steve Pierce spoke with Alex Vitale, author of the new book called The End of Policing. Alex is professor of sociology at Brooklyn College and coordinator of the Policing and Social Justice Project there. He'll be speaking at Oakwood Community Center in Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursday.
The new book is an attempt to kind of take a close look at a lot of the reforms that are being bandied about in relationship to the problems of policing these days. And, you know, I've been working on policing issues for the last over 25 years, and my sense is that the research just doesn't support a lot of these reforms as being effective. And that if we really want to get to the root of the problems of policing, we need to instead ask why it is that we've come to rely on police to deal with so many diverse social problems that we face. And instead, we should look at alternatives that don't rely on armed police to solve those problems.
Now, you say you've been following this for 25 years. Is there... Is this a unique moment in time, or things qualitatively different than they were at some other point in the last 25 years in terms of policing?
Well, I actually began this work just before the Rodney King incident in Los Angeles, and I think that was a similar kind of moment where there was a broad understanding that a lot of what the police were doing was broken. What's different today, I think, has been the kind of extent of sustained engagement with the issue. The protests continue, the introspection continues, reform efforts continue, and my hope is that we can build on this desire for reform to take an even closer look at urban governance and our reliance on police so broadly.
You mentioned the Rodney King incident. That was such a high-profile episode. It's one of the first times that an episode of police brutality was caught on video by... I think it was bystanders in that case. What changed as a result of that?
Well, not a lot, and that's part of the point that I want to make. There's a great book called Blue by Joe Dominic, who is a journalist out in L.A., who really showed not that much has changed. There was a lot of talk about community policing, a lot of talk about changes to training, but none of that really translated into a reduction in the burden of heavy-handed policing on our sort of poorest, most vulnerable communities. Certainly, we have not solved the drug problems of our society. We haven't solved the youth violence problems. We haven't solved the homelessness and mental health crises that we so often ask the police to deal with. So my hope is that we can start trying to look at those underlying problems more directly.
Now, in your book, you talk about the historical roots of policing as a social phenomenon. You trace it back to the slavery era in this country, but it goes back further. How far back does the notion of a police force travel?
Well, policing is a very old concept, but most people agree that there were some big changes in the fundamental nature of it in the 1900s and late 1800s, where you begin to get full-time professional police who are more closely tied to enforcing the law rather than what had existed before, which was either a very broad notion of police that dealt with sanitation and public health and political issues, to one that was more focused on law enforcement. But basically, what I do is I tie it to these three major economic engines of the 19th century, which are colonialism, slavery, and industrialization. And policing plays a central role in managing the pursuit of each of those three areas.
We're speaking with Alex Vitale. He's going to be appearing in Troy on Thursday, February 15th at 7 o'clock at the James Connolly Forum at Oakwood Community Center. He'll be speaking about his book, The End of Policing, and about contemporary issues surrounding the phenomenon of policing. What do you think would be an alternative to the way policing is conducted today?
Well, I think we should look at something like the Ithaca Plan that was developed upstate, where they have obviously a drug problem, just as a lot of Hudson Valley communities do. And the mayor up there said, let's try to take a step back from relying on police as our primary tool for dealing with that drug problem. And let's see if we can come up with a broader, more holistic approach. And the Ithaca plan ends up calling for, you know, 24-hour crisis intervention, drug treatment services, safe injection facilities, diversion programs, and not an increase in policing, actually a reduction in policing. And I think that we need to take that approach with a lot of social issues that we face today. You know, a quarter of all people killed by police in the United States are having a mental health crisis at the time they're killed. Let's invest some of those resources that we spend on jails and police today on developing effective community-based mental health care services instead.
So that's an interesting point. I know that as a result of my travels through upstate New York, I've seen these communities, rural communities, that are almost completely dependent on the prison system for jobs and other kinds of economic development. So it's difficult to change that situation without pretty broad political consensus. And I come down to the urban areas where many of the people who are in these prisons upstate go, and they're suffering from lack of mental health facilities, lack of drug treatment options, all different kinds of programs that are, I think almost anybody would agree they'd be a good thing, a good idea, but there's no money for them. How do you, but they're local problems, they're municipal problems. How do you manage the divide where the cost of the prison system is handled at a state or federal level, but the proactive measures that people might take to reduce crime in their communities are not funded at that level?
Yeah, well, it's the long-term big solutions are going to require state and federal intervention, but local places are spending a lot of money on police and jails that could be redirected into some of these services. One of the more interesting things I've been looking at is programs designed to deal with so-called frequent flyers. These are people who have mental health problems, substance abuse problems, maybe homeless, and local cities, even small towns, can spend a tremendous amount of money arresting these people, taking them to emergency rooms, putting them through the local courts and local jail facilities. And what some areas around the country are doing is they're trying to just house these people with some support services, and that is substantially cheaper than the money it spends to cycle them through all these institutions, none of which actually make these people's lives any better, or really ultimately reduce the impact of those people on the quality of life of regular residents.
So what do you do in a situation where the conventional wisdom is that there needs to be more policing, more harsh sentencing, more draconian approaches to crime? How do you argue for this de-escalation in an era where so many people are calling out for more intense policing?
Well, I think there are constituencies out there who understand that some of what we ask the police to do is not effective, is driven more by ideology than any kind of research or good outcomes. So you've got to start building at the neighborhood level, not around an anti-police agenda, but around an agenda for actually improving public health and public safety in a way that policing just doesn't with a lot of these issues.
That was Alex Vitale, the author of a new book called The End of Policing. He'll be speaking as part of the James Connolly Forum at Oakwood Community Center in Troy at 7 p.m. on Thursday.